Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning. Separating the science from the silly. I always love it when our chief engineer, Jerry Berg, says that to the open of the program, separating the science from the silly. There is a heap load of silly going on
out there.
A lot of science, too, but we're getting mixed signals. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here with me again today. Glad you're with us.
So you want me to give you some mixed signals? Is that what it is?
Our listeners count on you. Count on you for telling the truth, whether it's popular or not.
Unfortunately, the truth involves mixed signals today. So, yes.
Well, it reminds me, 2,500.
Life ain't simple.
25 years ago, a Greek dramatist by the name of Achilles said the first casualty of war is the truth.
Yes.
And everyone's saying we're at war, you know, the president and everybody's saying we're at war with this virus, which I think is a good way to look at it, I guess. Certainly the truth has become a casualty of this war.
Yeah, there's way too much political spin.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and the reality is, and I keep trying to get people to understand this, biology doesn't care. It doesn't care. Biology, gravity, chemistry, physics, none of those things care. They don't care about our politics, our religion, our philosophy, our desires, our loves, our hates are all totally immaterial. If you're doing real science, you're dealing with what is. You're trying to find out how things are really put together. And you have to put all of your emotional desires, the things you would like to be true, to one side. And you look at the evidence. And you're just trying to say, what is? Whether I like it or hate it, what is? That's all we really deal with in science. And unfortunately, scientists being people, sometimes our emotions and our wishful thinking and our desires get in the way.
Boy, no kidding. And our delusions, I'm not sure how to explain how there can be such a diverse response to facts.
Yeah.
They're so, yeah. So different.
Politicians call it spin.
Yeah, well, it's spin, but
it's just you're lying. I mean, it's all. You're presented with facts, and then you try to pretend those facts mean and represent things they don't.
Well, I was telling a friend the other day that Republicans 30 years ago would call the Republican Party of today
Marxists.
Socialists.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. I've grown up in politics.
Sure. But then again, you know, the Democrats of 30, 40 years ago would now be called fascists. You know, John F. Kennedy could not be a member of the current current Democrat Party. He couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be pilloried.
That's right.
You know, I mean, for one thing, his personal behaviors.
That's true.
You know, holy. Pierre Salinger's comment about the Kennedy boys, you know, he said, you have to understand about the Kennedy boys. Kennedy boys are towards women like dogs are for fire hydrants. They can't pass one without raising a leg. I mean, it's just, you know, try to get that past the Me Too movement today.
That's right. That's right. And yet, well, I'm not going to go there. Here, let's just say this. Let's get into some of the facts and some of the responses and how should we respond. But I first want to point out, yes, we are going to concentrate on calls again today.
Yes.
And emphasis, we're happy. And we will be talking about the China virus. No, Ken, we will.
The CCP virus.
Well, I know you'd like to say
that. The Chinese Communist Party virus.
It is. It has nothing to do with the race.
No, my wife didn't do it.
That's right. Right. But it did come from China.
But it did come from China, but it is a world pandemic because of the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, and by the way, I find it real interesting what some politicians are going to try to make them pay for it, too. Hold them accountable.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to be able to do that.
You can't make them pay for it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that it seems like they should. But let me give out the number, because you can call about the virus, about health questions of any kind. So we will take. Last week, we took about two-thirds on the virus and one-third on
Other stuff. And there is a world outside of coronavirus.
Yes, there is a world outside coronavirus. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. However, yesterday, Jerry,
yes,
I was talking with a doctor that we all know and love who was pointing out that he said, we've got to get our medical community open again. We have to open the state and our medical doctors, and because we're now starting to see, according to this one well-known doctor, we're starting to see the effects for diabetics, for
heart attacks,
breast cancer victims, cardiac issues,
sure,
for not having those regular checkups and those kinds of things.
Yeah, you can't put all of your country's medical emphasis on one disease.
Yeah. And we're starting to pay the price for doing that. So it's critical that we open things back up. Here's the number with your questions. You call right now. 800-465-8770. Okay. 800-465-8770. Okay. The president gave us some guidelines a couple of nights ago.
He did.
And so what is the response of our governor?
He's going to wait. We are not on the states that are looking to open in the near future.
Even though we are doing...
We have the flattest curve in the country. Nobody else in the country that started with the virus, okay, has had as few new cases each week as we have. You would think we would be first on the list, but I can understand to some extent why we aren't yet. Our caseload is such that we could. The problem is we don't yet have adequate testing that's actually available on a practical basis. And that seems to be Governor Inslee's hold up. He says he wants to have widespread testing and case management available. Well, case management is his job. So that part he's going to have to hire the people in the health department to do the case management and the case tracking. And if that doesn't happen, that's on him. But the testing, yeah. If we really want to open up and we want to do a good job and want to protect our population, several things we need to do. First, we need to be able to do rapid testing to find out who gets the virus, because we're going to keep getting the virus, by the way. Flattening the curve is not the same as getting rid of the pandemic.
That's right.
It means that people stop getting sick faster and faster and faster so that we don't overload the hospital. So the idea is to slow our rate of new infections to the point that the medical care system can handle it without being overwhelmed. That was what the flatten the curve was all about. Best guess right now, probably about 3% of America has been infected. We don't get herd immunity till we get over 50% infected.
My goodness.
And real good herd immunity, you know, to really limit the spread of the infection, you need 70% of your population to be resistant to the disease.
Okay.
70%. We have 3%, right? So a lot of people are still going to get infected, and we have the vast majority of our population is still susceptible to getting infected. So we got to recognize that. So masks are going to become de rigueur. You are going to be socially frowned upon. And at some point, stores are going to probably refuse to let you in the store without a mask.
Like Hong Kong.
Like Hong Kong. And it's very effective in Hong Kong. Great social pressure. Of course, Hong Kong is very densely populated. Okay. We have a fairly open population here in Kirkland. Now, downtown Seattle is different. Downtown Seattle, probably everybody on the street should have a mask on. Bellevue, probably close to it, really. I mean, Bellevue is high rises and a lot of people. But when you get out in the suburbs, it's easy to stay 6-10 feet away from other people. You don't have to have a mask if you're staying far enough apart. Okay. My wife and daughter and I go out and we run the trails. We run 3-4 miles a day, and seldom do we come within 10 or 15 feet of another human being because we're running outside on the trails. And everybody out there is exercising their tush off. So you got a healthy, lean population of people.
But some states are even arresting people for being out in a canoe. I mean,
not a canoe. Michigan will allow a canoe. In Michigan, and this is what's causing the people there to protest. Yeah. In Michigan, you can go in a canoe, you can go in a rowboat, you can go in a sailboat by yourself. But if there's a motor on the boat, you're breaking the law.
And the rationale there?
There isn't any. That's why people are saying this is stupid.
Yeah.
A family that sleeps together, eats together, hugs and kisses all day, if the family goes out on the rowboat, they're breaking the law.
Right? I've seen that governor, the lady governor. She is delusional. There's no doubt.
Well, I mean, it makes no sense. People will follow reasonable rules, but when you make rules that make no sense like that, you gotta expect that people are going to say, "What are you, stupid?"
But she clearly loves the power.
Well, she does. Yeah, well, she's a politician. You remember Dr. Mixon's political philosophy? People who want to run their own lives stay home and do so. People who want to run other people's lives seek public office. The left wants to run my life in one way. The right wants to run my life in a different way. What they have in common is they all think they're better qualified to run my life than I am, and I disagree.
Yeah.
So.
That's well said.
All right.
Well said. Well, I'll tell you what. We do have a couple of questions, and I think they may not even be on
coronavirus.
On coronavirus. Well, maybe one
might be okay.
But in any event, we still have a couple of lines open, so call us at 800-465-8770. And let's go to a break just a minute or two early here, so when we start taking calls, we can not be interrupted. So stay with us, 800-465-8770. We'll be back before you know it with Dr. Jerry Mixon.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age. Call with your question at 1-800-465-8770.
That's 800-465-8770.
Welcome back. It is 16 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I am sitting on one side of the room. Dr. Mixon is sitting on the other side of the room. And we are here to talk for a moment more. Let's talk a little bit about a couple medications.
Yeah. There are several things we need to do to really open up effectively and safely. And one of those is obviously we need to be able to find out who's already resistant. So the antibody tests. We currently have three antibody tests that were approved this past week. We've got nearly 90 others that have made an application to the FDA. So over the next several weeks, antibody tests will get more and more common. And I would think a month from now, we'll be testing lots of people to find out who is already resistant to the disease, which would be good. As I said, masks will be important. Social distancing in appropriate settings will still be good. But treatment, being able to treat the disease. So far, we've got two drugs that are very encouraging under very different settings. You know, the first one we all started talking about a month ago was the hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin and zinc. And it turns out that drug is not effective against people that are very sick. If you are hospital sick, you're probably not going to get a great result with those drugs, with that drug. That drug combination shortens the illness significantly if you are mildly to moderately sick. But once you get that gigantic immune response going on with a serious illness, it doesn't help much.
There certainly have been some outliers. We've seen people who thought they were going to be dead in the
yes.
middle of the night, and it turned them around immediately, but that was more of an outlier.
Yes, it is. We are not seeing that in statistically significant numbers in the very ill people. But, you know, mild to moderate illness, it seems to be beneficial.
So in other
and
words,
it's dirt cheap, and so, it's relatively available.
In other words, in the early stages, you're feeling bad, you find out you've got it, boom.
Right. And that's why you want on-site testing. You don't want to have to wait 3 or 4 days to get the test report
yes.
back from the CDC.
Yeah.
You're going to your doctor. He does a swab, he sticks it in the machine, in 5 minutes you know you've got it, you get on your medication. If you can start it early, that drug will probably be a real benefit to making you get a milder, shorter illness.
All right.
It's also looking very probable that it's a very good prophylactic drug. People that are on this drug for other reasons, if you're a lupus patient or you have an autoimmune disease that it has already put you on this drug, very few of those people are getting sick, almost nobody. So it lowers your risk of getting the disease. So if you have another reason to take the drug, it seems to provide a significant degree of protection against getting sick in the first place.
That's good.
So, yeah, so we've got a prophylactic drug. We've got a drug for the early. Now for the sick people, remdesivir is a new antiviral drug that Gilead Sciences has come up with. University of Chicago has been running a controlled study on that with very, very good results. So it looks like remdesivir is the first of the antiviral drugs that is probably going to be very useful for people that get super sick so they don't have to end up going on the ventilators.
Excellent. Okay?
Because if you go on the ventilator, 80% of the time you will die. Out of 10.
Okay.
And the reason you're seeing these large numbers of people dying now in New York and New Jersey, even though new cases are down, is because they tend to keep you alive on the ventilator for about 20 days on average.
Oh, okay.
So 3 weeks after you get put on that ventilator is when you finally die, because they just finally give up and your body just can't cope with it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So with drugs like remdesivir, we can probably keep the vast majority of those ventilator patients from ever going on the ventilator and save their lives. So we've got two drugs now. One for protection, one for mild disease, one for more serious disease. We don't have enough of those drugs yet. Knowing they work is different from being able to manufacture enough to give them to lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the practicality. You can't make the politician mistake of thinking that because you signed a law, the world has changed.
Yeah.
You know, you've now made a rule. Now people have to actually build a factory and hire people and buy the ingredients, and make the drug, and then distribute it around the country. That takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen just because we say, oh, this works. Now everybody can take it. No, they can't. You don't have it.
Yeah.
All right. So real world, it's going to take some time.
At least it's encouraging news.
It's encouraging news, and we know now that we've got some things that do work with different populations. And, you know, the trick is now going to be to gear up and get it out so that folks can actually use it.
You know, what's interesting is we sell a lot of supplements at Longevity Medical Clinic for obvious reasons, for all of our patients. And, but we're finding, I'm hearing reports from some of our suppliers that supplement sales are going berserk.
Sure.
Any supplement, even supplements that don't necessarily affect
don't
your
do diddly squat.
Don't
yeah.
do a blooming thing. Everybody's buying everything.
Yeah. Well, people get desperate. They get frightened. They say, I want to do something, anything.
And this know, is... this
scream,
is,
shout, run in circles.
This is actually... people are starting to wake up to the reality that, really, there's never been a better time to get healthy. I mean, for crying out loud, so many of our listeners... I'll tell a little backstory here. So many of our listeners here on the radio, and we hear this all the time. We've done this for 20 years. We hear people say, oh, I wish I'd have been become a patient 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when I first heard about you. I've been meaning to.
Yeah.
They just procrastinated. Well, we made our free health analysis appointments available. We started that almost 2 years ago. Well, now, boom, we make our health analysis appointments available, and boom, they're gone. Like
they fill
within
up,
yeah. two or three days.
Well, that's a good thing. It's better to do it late than not to do it.
That's right. And so here's just a little word. Last week, we announced that we were offering $100 of longevity supplements for people who decided, finally, you know, to make a free health analysis appointment, where you come in and you get two free tests to help determine what some of your basic risk factors are. Okay, they've been popular. Well, I told everybody actually 2 weeks ago and then last Saturday that we opened up April 2 weeks ago, and within 3 days, all of April was gone. And then last Saturday, we said, okay, we're opening up now into May. Mm-hmm. And now we are down to, I think it's about 7 appointments in May in Kirkland, and about 14 is all, and maybe 15 or so for either Tacoma or Linwood. So the bottom line is, I'm letting you know again today, yes, we are still honoring and offering $100 of longevity supplements if you come in for the free health analysis appointment. A little incentive just to make it easier for you to come in.
Pete, you're the marketing guy. You think of the supplements. You left out what I think is the most important thing is the doctor, the free masks.
Yeah.
All right. The N95 mask that we can give to the people that come in for themselves and their spouse. So,
you know, and for the rare case, if they've got a parent living with them or whatever,
yeah, sure.
You know,
but,
that kind of a thing.
But basically, it's for the 99% of the people. It's you and your spouse.
That's right.
So, you know, so you come in and you get your free health analysis. You find out your risk factors. Yes, you get a discount on supplements. The marketing guy loves that because he knows you'll love them and then you'll keep buying them. But I...
That is true, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. I know you.
What a shock.
Shock, shock, shock. Your job is to sell. My job is health. I like the mask. So we give the person and their spouse a mask. And yes, we'll get you $100 off your supplements. And hopefully you'll like them and you'll keep buying them and we'll get our $100 back eventually. All right.
That's right. So bottom line is to make your own appointment with what the number that we have available into May now, unfortunately. I think there's 2 or 3 in April available. But bottom line, into May now, if you come in and have your free health analysis appointment, we'll give you the supplements and we'll also give you the mask, which is a pretty nice thing. You make your own appointment at lmclinic.com. You do it online. At least 95% of you will at lmclinic.com. You go there and smack dab in the middle of the homepage there, you'll see how to do that. Super, super easy to do. I promise. Now, if you don't have a computer, and some of you don't, we understand, you can call us at Longevity 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. And you can do it that way too. But I encourage you, because these are done on a first come, first served basis, that you go right now, today, and do it at lmclinic.com. Let's go to Renton and talk to Wendy. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy. I love that name, by the way.
Thank you.
There was a song about you in the 60s. There was a song about you in the 60s, remember?
I know. Yeah, that's true. It's funny, I didn't like my name because no one else had it when I was,
well,
when I was little.
Okay, Jerry, sing the song. Jerry, sing the song.
You know, I don't remember all the name, the words to it. It's a real shame. I remember the melody. I can hum it, but I can't sing it.
How can we help you, Wendy?
How can we help you, Wendy? I mean, other than complimenting your lovely name.
I have talked to my primary care. I have a lump, or maybe it's a couple of lumps, on the inside of my shin, kind of on the inside of my the shin, the left leg, and it's a hard lump, and it kind of aches at night. And I called my primary care, and he said he thought that perhaps it was just a bulging vein, but it doesn't look, you know, like a varicose vein. I've seen those on people. You can see that it's risen. You know, it's not flat like the other leg, and it's just kind of achy, like if I walk out on pavement and in bed at night. And I just thought, could this be a blood clot, and how would I know?
And that's always the question. It is one of those things that is pretty almost impossible to diagnose on the radio, because the look and the texture, you know. There's something about being a doctor to be able to actually see it and run your fingers lightly across it and see exactly what the texture and so on is. Fingertips tell you a lot.
So
you know, you could have some blood clots in a vein. If it's on the shin, the medial, the inner side of the shin, right up on the bone, overlying the bone, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, just right inside the bone.
Yeah. There's not a lot of veins up there, and they tend to be pretty small ones. And so forming clots there is pretty unlikely. Not impossible, obviously, but unlikely. Usually, if you're going to get clots in your lower leg, it's going to be in the calf, you know, around on the muscle on the other side of the leg, away from the shin. Because that's where the vast majority of the good-sized veins, where you get stagnant blood flow and clot formation, are. So, once more, this is one of those, I will be glad when they let you go in and see your doctor and see what's going on. How long have you had this?
You know, I'm not really sure. I just noticed this achiness in my leg, I would say maybe a couple of months. And it wasn't until I started, you know, I've worked out in the gym until the gym closed. I just noticed this achiness, you know, in bed at night when I go to shift from side to side. I can feel it when I walk on, like, a trail or something like that where it's irregular. I feel it when I'm walking on pavement if I'm out there too long, especially if I've done my physical therapy exercises. I fractured my hip in July, and if I've done those and then walk, you know, I'm trying to stay active. you know, I'm a patient, so I'm trying to do what I need to do to
see, this is one of those cases. I wish Dr. Umat were here with us. She's the physical medicine, the rehab doctor. That was her initial training and background. And she's probably probably has far more expertise in this than I do. So I miss her being here today.
Maybe I'll make an appointment and see her, because I am a patient. And then I'll go from there, you know, if I need to get an ultrasound.
I mean, clearly this is not what she normally does, but, you know, and if we can't get you into your regular doctor, maybe she'll help you out.
So, that's what I was thinking, perhaps during this time of
crisis,
quarantine. So.
Okay.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And, you know, Dr. Mitchell said, he said when things open up, he said, if it continues to be a problem, he said, we'll do an ultrasound. So
if it's been there for months, it really needs to be checked out. Common problems are common, but, you know, I worry about the rare things. You know, there are some tumors and stuff that could do this. So I'd sure like to have somebody look at you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Appreciate the call. That opens up a line at 800-465-8770. But a little reminder, if you want one of the free health analysis appointments that come with, as Dr. Mixon so appropriately pointed out, you get two free masks, too. How about that? Or at least you get a mask for you, and if you've got a spouse or mate or whatever, you can have one.
If you're a hermit, you just get one for you.
That's right. That's okay. So go to lmclinic.com and click on the health analysis button. The appointment is free. The two tests are free. The masks are free. And $100 worth of supplements, longevity supplements, of your choice, of course. We'll be right back.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Join in the conversation at 1-800-465-8770 and tell your friends to listen.
That's 1-800-465-8770.
Minutes past the hour, Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. And during the break, Dr. Jerry Mixon and I were bemoaning the fact that, well, I was bemoaning the fact that I was supposed to be in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, see, I don't bemoan the fact that you were supposed to be in Hawaii.
We had three trips to Hawaii this year. We do enjoy Hawaii. But the real frustration for you, too, is you have a condo in Hawaii.
I have a timeshare I bought in 1980.
Timeshare.
Yeah, and I get a week a year. You know, it seemed like a great deal in 1980 when I bought it. I think I paid $7,000 for it.
Okay.
You know? But, yeah, and so my week comes up May 9th.
Well, good luck, pal.
Three weeks from today.
They ain't letting nobody in over there. It's tough. We're booking flight. We have more trips planned. But our first trip this year will be in September. We got rid of the others. And
we're going to do car trips this summer.
But the flights are empty, and all the middle seats are blocked off.
Yes.
So they're not allowing any of the middle seats. But coach, which, well, another story, it's like for the two of us, it's like $2,300. It's not cheap.
No.
It's not going to be cheap.
Well, that's because they got to fly the airplane, you know, with about one third of the people in it normally. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously people are freaking out. They're still not signing up to go to Hawaii. Think of the disaster, the financial disaster to the economy over there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, anywhere, everywhere, of course. But, man, that's a sad thing. So we'll stop feeling sorry for ourselves and get back to business at hand. Let's go to Seattle and talk to John.
Hello, John. John, speak to me.
Hello. Yes. Can you hear me all right?
You're on the air. Several thousand people hear you.
Okay, thank you. I'm holding my phone a little funny. So, I enjoy your program very much. I've listened to you a lot. What I called about was several months ago, you and then the doctor, I think that he's gone now, used to have him in Tacoma, that you mentioned that for heart failure, that testosterone would be a good thing to add to any treatment. Is that correct that I heard?
Well, yeah, it's certainly something to be considered. You know, I mean, the heart is a muscle, and testosterone is a pro-muscle drug. It adds to the strength and durability of virtually every muscle in your body, gut, heart, you know, everything.
People do tend to lose track of the fact it's a muscle. It's not just the muscles in your arms and your legs.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's not your abs and your glutes that keep you alive. It's those other muscles inside your body. So, yeah, it's certainly one that, you know, that should be seriously considered. Now, you know, obviously, I'm the guy on the radio. I don't prescribe for people I have never seen. It's just not appropriate. But it makes good sense, and it shows that there are studies showing that people with low testosterone loads have more congestive heart failure than people with higher testosterone loads. So, you know, there is, not only does it make good sense, there are studies that show there's a correlation there.
Well, you know, I was very interested in that, so I brought it up with, it's my wife, with her personal care physician, and mm-hmm. he said, what in the world do you want that test for? And I said, well, I understand that it can be helpful to strengthen a muscle. Do you have to combine it with an exercise program?
Well, you should, but obviously with congestive heart failure, you've got limit to the amount of exercise you can do. So you use the medication, and if that gives you a little edge, then you do some exercise with it, and then you adjust your doses. What your primary care doctor probably doesn't realize, he thinks of testosterone as a man's hormone and estrogen as a woman's hormone. What he doesn't probably know is that even healthy young women, 18, 20-year-old girls that have the highest estrogen level that they're ever going to have in their life, even those girls have twice as much testosterone as they have estrogen in their system. Testosterone is the primary steroid hormone for men and women. Okay.
But just think of what we just uncovered here again for maybe the 2000th time on this show. His doctor, his primary care doctor, said, why on earth would you want to be tested for that?
Yeah, well, because testosterone load in women makes a big difference in their brain function, in their bone density, in their muscle mass, in their mood.
But how sad is it that primary care physicians are making those kinds of comments?
Yeah. Well, and again, they don't know.
Yeah. If I could elaborate a little bit. My wife does have a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. And I know him very well, so I decided that, well, I would take it up with him, and I did. And I couldn't get either one of them to test at all. And he's pretty well informed. And
even, but he wouldn't run the test.
Pardon?
But he wouldn't run the test.
No, neither one of them would authorize it or do it. And I've looked on, and she's been... She has other problems. So is there any literature? Hey, well, I heard you say it. I knew that, and that it could very well be helpful. And I listened to it. But talking to him, why, you know, it's a different story.
Yep.
So I was wondering, is there any literature on your website or any place that discusses it at all?
Well, I mean, there's the literature that discusses it is in the National Institute of Health database. I don't try to replicate the federal government's database on my website. That's based.
Doctors are supposed to know about it.
Well, it would be nice, yeah. But yeah, I mean, our website, let's face it, a company's website is a marketing tool, right? Not a university educational tool.
We get this almost every Saturday. We have people want to ask us, can we please have some material so that we can educate our doctors?
Yeah. And if you have to educate your doctors, you're the wrong doctor.
You need a new doctor, for goodness sakes.
Here's a philosophical standpoint. Wow. Okay. If you don't do the test, it tells me you don't want to know the answer.
Okay. Well, I'm sold on it, but so I'm going to spend more time on it.
Yeah. But part of your problem is just based on your age, I'm guessing that your wife is a Medicare recipient. And see, Medicare doesn't cover testosterone for women. And that's part of the whole, no. And so Medicare would not cover the cost of the test. And that's probably part of the whole.
I would get it. Well, I would get it through your compound. We used to go to Key Pharmacy.
Yeah.
We've been thinking over. My wife has a bad back. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to try to pursue it somehow.
All right. But remember, the pharmacy is for the medication. The test has to be through the laboratory. Medicare will not pay the laboratory to test the testosterone level on.
Which is not the end of the world because it's not a horribly expensive test.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe $100.
Yeah, big deal.
So
okay, it's your body.
And then if I had it done, mm-hmm. I don't see where it would do me any good. I don't mind doing it. Well, you know, to present it to the cardiologist,
yeah.
You know, obviously, yeah,
sure.
We're just, you know, just patients. So I'll pursue it further. I had put aside the money. I wanted my wife to go to your clinic.
Of course, at our clinic, we'll run all the tests.
Well, if my wife wanted to... you know, anything that the doctor tells her, she's all for. Anything that I say, I heard away. She takes it with a grain of salt.
No, I understand.
So I have another unusual one, which I keep getting ignored all the time for.
Okay.
You know, just recently my wife had a colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
And I have told them for years that she has a very long colon. And the only reason I know that is years ago she had a barium enema for looking at it, and I saw the picture of the thing, and it was a really extra long colon. And
okay.
So they say, well, most of the time they're no trouble. So the gastroenterologist remembered that, and then so she did a colonoscopy with anesthetic, and So they described the thing as torturous, and mm-hmm. she said in her practice, and she does a lot of it, she said, I've only seen maybe one or two others that were that bad. And so, but she got all the way through it and did what they had to do. But she has a problem that is she has had part of her stomach removed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a problem occasionally with, I guess, that gastroenterologists that do modify your stomach for weight loss. It's, mm-hmm. I guess they understand it, but I haven't been able to find one so far. And I remember one time she had a problem, really serious troubles with her bowels. So, and she was in the hospital. And there was a doctor there, and he took the symptoms. And he went to the computer, and he put in the symptoms, and up popped a study done at the Mayo Clinic. And in the Mayo Clinic, it said, and it described her symptoms pretty much, pretty close, and, you know, and that's how he got them. But it does cause her to faint. And to pass out, and it can be scary, you know.
But what's your question?
Yeah, we don't understand your question, John. What's your question?
The question is, have you ever heard about that syndrome whereby when you had part of your stomach modified, cut off, or anything in the gastrointestinal tract,
that can cause fainting?
Sure,
sure. Vasovagal responses are not that uncommon. And there's basically a nerve, the vagus nerve. And when that nerve is stimulated, it can indeed slow down your heartbeat and cause you to drop your blood pressure out and pass out. So, yeah, that's, it's not real, real common from gastrointestinal issues, but yes, it can happen.
And with that in mind, John, we appreciate your call, but boy, sounds like you guys ought to consider becoming a patient at Longevity. We actually do all those tests that we've been talking about. They're part of our natural routine. Because guess what? If you don't measure...
You don't know. And if you're not willing to measure, you're choosing willful ignorance.
And if you have to train your doctor
You got the wrong doctor.
You've got the wrong doctor, for crying out loud. In fact, I'm going to say, we're going to take some more calls when we come back from the break. And we will talk about this whole area of doctors and how to find a good one. We'll be right back.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation. 425-654-0258. That's 425-654-0258.
Leading Edge Medicine here. I'm reading some people have called in. There's confusion. If you are positive to the antiviral test, can you get it again later? And if you are, if you do have an antibody against the virus,
yes,
are you able to, can you still spread the virus? I mean, can it... So you find out you have the antibody,
yes,
to the virus. That means you're not dangerous to anybody else?
All right. Two separate things going on.
Okay.
One, do you have the virus in your system?
Yes.
Then you are dangerous to other people.
Yes. Okay. But if you have the
antibody. But there's two different things. The antibody is not the virus. The antibody is something your body made in response to being exposed to the virus.
Okay.
So if you have the antibody but not the virus, you are clearly not dangerous to anybody. Okay. You are simply resistant to the virus yourself.
Good.
Okay. Now, there are people that get infected and they are making antibody even though they may still be carrying the virus. That's a whole different issue. All right. If their body is not making enough antibody to eradicate the virus, then it is possible that they are carrying a low level of the virus and a low level of the antibody. So that's just two separate issues. So one is the virus, one is the antibody to the virus.
Got it.
There are people, see, at this point, I don't like to say immune. I use the word resistant. And that's because immunity says you can't get it. Resistance says your body will resist getting it, but it can be overwhelmed. If you have a modest amount of antibody, but your immune system is not able to make a really big, robust antibody response. See, every human being is different.
Yeah.
Some of us get infected and we make big, robust, strong He-Man responses, and others make little wussy responses.
Okay.
Okay. If you made a wussy response and you get a big enough viral load attacking you again, it can overwhelm your antibody load.
Like if you're a doctor in the...
And you're in the ward with lots and lots of people that have the disease, and you're getting assaulted with virus all the time, guess what? You can get... Your system can be overwhelmed, even if you are having some antibody response. And it also depends on your general health, you know? People who exercise regularly do not catch the virus as well or as much, and they recover faster. The vast majority of the people who die are overweight. Sedentary lifestyle kills you in a lot of ways, but in this case, it allows the virus to kill you. And so sedentary lifestyle is dangerous. We actually make very protective compounds. We call them myokines, compounds made by working muscle. And the more muscle you've got and the more frequently and intensely that muscle is worked, the more myokines you produce. And these are potent antiviral, anti-inflammatory sorts of compounds that your muscles make. Sedentary is the new smoking. Not working your muscles or not moving enough to make muscle puts you at higher risk of dying from all sorts of things, including the virus.
Excellent information. Thank you. Someone had texted that into the studio, so had to do that. Another quick question that was texted in, wanted to do off the air, is melatonin safe for kids?
Safe, but generally unnecessary. You know, why would a child need melatonin? Most kids make vast amounts of melatonin compared to adults. Our melatonin production declines generally with age, and that's why old folks, or one of the many reasons, old folks don't sleep well, and kids sleep like the dead.
That's true.
So my question to that, I mean, that's somebody I'd love to have on the air. Why would the child need the melatonin? What's going on?
She didn't want to go on the air.
Yeah, something's happening here that is unusual if you're even thinking about melatonin for a child.
That's right.
And, you know, there are kids that are just odd kids. I have now had a total of 9 children. 2 have died, 1 in infancy and 1 at 40 with a glioblastoma. One of my sons, from the day he was born, was a night person. He did not sleep at night, ever. He would sleep in the daytime and would never sleep at night. And that persisted as an adult.
Oh,
he'd be up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning working productively, and then he'd be drowsy all day. There are those rare human beings that don't fit our standard pattern. You know, humans have enormous individual variation. And just because something is, quote, normal means that it occurs within 2 standard deviations of the mean. 95.6% of the population fits our definition of normal. 2.2% of the population on each end of the curve, that is a total of 4.4% of human beings, are by our definition not normal.
Yeah.
Okay. They have characteristics that don't fit within our normative values. And that goes for sleep too. It goes for sleep, it goes for sexuality, it goes for exercise tolerance, it goes for lung capacity, it goes for anything and everything you can measure in human beings. We define normal by whatever it is you're wanting to find out, set a normal value for. You measure that in thousands of people. You get a big wide subset of numbers. You find the statistical mean. You go 2 standard deviations from that mean in each direction. That by definition encompasses 95.6% of the population.
So 2.5 about on the bottom and 2.5
on the top. That's, or 2.2.
Yeah.
2.2 on the top, 2.2 on the bottom. We define as abnormal. Well, everybody else is normal just because that's how we made the definition.
So your thyroid is in the 10% level. The doctor will say, oh, that's normal.
That's normal. But if you're in the bottom 10%, you're going to be tired, slow, dry, fat, and fuzzy-headed, but you're normal. Yeah.
That's irritating.
Normal is not the same as good. You see, normal is a statistical construct we come up with. But there's a difference in normal and good.
Well, let's just say this. If your doctor says, you tell your doctor you've got complaints or what have you, and he says, oh, well, that's normal for your age. There's another good reason to run like the wind, because as you were just saying, Jerry, you don't want to be normal. You don't want to fall apart.
Why would I want to be normal?
Yeah. You want to be optimal. This is what longevity is all about.
I want to be the best I can be at any given age.
So this is why we do the free health analysis appointments for people who don't want to fall apart on the normal rate.
And quite frankly, if we optimize you, you will not be normal in many ways. You'll be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier than normal. And that's a good thing.
So we've got another hour to go. It's only about a 15-second break, so don't go far. But if you want one of our free health analysis appointments, 2 free tests, the free masks when you come in for you and your spouse, and $100 worth of longevity supplements of your choice, make the appointment at lmclinic.com. We will be back. Literally, there's a 15-second legal break we have to do. Hour number 2, straight ahead.